Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to First District Politics, live on the air. I'm Bill Lichter, and we are here again with Dana Stevens. Hello, Dana.
Hello.
Hello. So we're calling this our post-election show. Last time we did the show was right after Trump's winning the primary. And if I remember correctly, Dana, you were a Cruz fan, and you have Cruz on your Twitter page, that Cruz, the one with the body art, right?
Yeah.
One of our first shows is when you put that up there, I think.
Yep. You showed me how to
remember?
Twitter.
Yeah. I showed you how to Twitter. So, anyway, here we are post-election. So, tell me, what do you think about this Trump win? Is it big or what?
It's huge. It's the biggest. It's so big. It's the best thing ever. It's great. I am actually really excited about it.
I can't believe
it.
That's coming out of your mouth.
I know, right? Yeah, I was not a Trump fan. I held out. I was, even at the voting booth, I was standing in line, and I didn't know what I was going to do because,
really?
Of course, I was not going to vote Hillary, but I didn't know if I could bring myself to vote for Trump. And I'm literally in the line to vote, not knowing what I was going to do. It was literally right before I handed my ID, my photo ID, that I decided, oh, shit, I'm doing it. I'm voting for Trump. That was when I decided. I didn't early vote. I waited till Election Day because I couldn't wrap my head around Trump. And then the day of, I did it, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm doing it. It's happening. And I was scared because I was not prepared to do that.
That
so
is a great story. I'm just like, I'm almost speechless hearing that. That is a great story. I wonder how many people were exactly like you, Dana. I don't think you're alone.
I
think a lot of people.
Yeah, I imagine quite a few. And I'm actually really proud that I did it. I'm so grateful I did it because I thought I'm not going to vote for a president. I'm going to vote down ballot. That was not a question in my mind that I would vote down ballot.
You said that when you
ballot,
pulled
but
out your – no, when you pulled out your ID. Do you think when you said that and the way you said that, I'm like, that ID in your hand made you think this is why, because this freedom I have to vote – I've got to make sure I put this in the right guy's hands. Do you think that ID had anything to do with triggering your brain to do that?
I think that's a really awesome perspective, Bill. I don't think consciously I thought of it that way, looking back and after having you say that. Maybe that was part of it, knowing that I knew I couldn't put my vote with Hillary Clinton and knowing what are my alternatives, pulling out my ID, knowing everything that Trump has said during the election, maybe that was part of it. And I'm totally okay with it. I'm totally okay with my vote. I'm not, at the time before voting, I was like uncertain and am I going to regret and vote my conscience and, I want a true conservative and I have all these ideas of what my candidate looks like. And I was looking at that. And then when I'm actually at the voting booth, my candidate looked like Donald Trump. So that's the direction I went in. And it was, going into it, it was a hard decision. And then doing it not so hard. I was happy with the decision I made. So.
Mm-hmm. That congratulations, Dana. That is a great, great story. No wonder you were so excited. That's a great story. That's historic. You know, it is. And a lot of people really, you know, like I was telling you before the show and we chatted for a minute, that I was doing doors. I did a lot of doors, probably 1,000 doors easily. How many I got responses from, hundreds of people that I talked to. And, you know, a lot of people had some reservations, like you were saying, and it's just hard to find the one thing that you could try to use to get them to kind of feel comfortable voting for Trump. You know, everybody had a little bit different, I don't know, just something they were, like you said, wrapping their head around it. I don't get it myself. I mean, I saw, obviously, you know, I've been since the day Sarah Palin endorsed Trump. After learning Trump is awesome. So for me, it's just hard to even comprehend that these people just couldn't see what Trump was about. And I think right now you're seeing what it's about. And I don't want to say I knew this, but this is what I knew, that Trump hasn't even sworn on the Bible yet. Look what's happening. Everything is just falling right into place. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I am very pleased post-election. I'm very pleased post-election. I'm liking his choices. I'm pleased with his choices. I like the direction he's going in. I'm even motivated. There are so many protests against him. That actually motivates me to support him even more.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it makes me support him. Yeah. So that's a motivating.
But we have to. It's galvanizing it. No, it is. These people, they don't understand that what they're doing is backfiring so bad on them that it's not even funny, and it's galvanizing people even more.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
We're going to stand
up
because they're protesting Trump. They're protesting us. They're protesting us. They're not protesting Trump. They're protesting us. They're calling us the racists, us the bigots, the xenophobes, the homophobes, the whatever, Islamophobes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my God.
We are the basket of phobes, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
put us in the basket. Yeah.
And I think the majority of Americans are sick of this polarization, division, and being called names. The PC world that we're living in, we're sick of it, and we voted that way. And it backfired on Hillary Clinton when she called us a basket of deplorables. Even though I wasn't necessarily in that basket at that time, I was so offended. Even though I wasn't necessarily a Trump supporter at the time that she made that comment, I was still deeply offended. And it, like
you
said,
it
galvanized.
Basket.
Still in that basket, even though I was not quite there yet. She threw me in that basket, and I said, you know what? Fine. Put me in the basket. I'm okay with that because this basket outweighs your basket. So,
Dana,
they
are so arrogant. They are so arrogant. They thought they could run a corpse for president. Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just pathetic. These are some of the most pathetic, evil people. Don't even get me started. These people are bad. They want to call themselves tolerant and liberal. They are far from it. They're fascists. They're control freaks. They're bullies. This is nothing new. This is how they roll. Only people that have been, you know, knee deep in this know this. Finally, people are waking up, the average person, because it's affecting everybody now. Sickening.
Right. Right.
They're
well, the average person... The average person who has a political opinion can no longer speak what their political opinion is because they are labeled. We're sick of being labeled. And I think that it's somewhat of a revolt. This election cycle has been somewhat of a revolt against stop labeling us. If you want to label us, fine. Then we'll select the candidate that best suits us. And you can label us all you want. We don't care. Now we have a majority of House, majority of Senate, and we have the president. So good luck with that. Label us all you want. We're the majority now. We're no longer the silent majority. We are the vocal majority. And I appreciate that. I like it. I'm proud to be a part of it.
Wow, that's great to hear. I know a particular person that I want to call and send this podcast to when we're done so that I could get her to speak like you. Another Cruz fan.
Ah.
Never Trumper.
Hey, us Cruz girls, you know, we're not so bad. We're
no,
pretty
you're some
decent
tough cookies.
People. Yeah, we some are. Cookies. Yeah, we are.
We'll give you a little time. It's only been, what, 10 days, 11 days or whatever, so.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
nothing.
All in. I'm all in. I tell you what, I'm all in Trump. I can't wait for the next 4 years. I am on my heels. I am so excited what this presidency is going to bring to us. I'm so excited with Trump's choices so far. I'm so excited with his plans. You know, everything before was all talk. And now it's all game. It's, you know, what's going to happen? I can't wait. I cannot wait for it. And I can't wait to watch The View when Trump starts acting like everything he said. I want to watch The View, and I want to watch those liberals squirm and just show their disgust and everything. I love it. I love when they show their disgust based on non-facts. Can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah. You know, I was just looking at the dashboard for the blog talk, and the name of the show, First District Politics. You know this. I don't know if the listeners know, but I know Reince. We both are from the same small town, Kenosha. And in politics around here, he's been in politics as long as I have for the last 17 years, and him even a little bit longer before. And so our paths have, put it this way, crossed numerous times. We know each other. It's kind of cool that I know Ryan. And you know what else? I also know Bannon. I met Bannon for a 2-day stint when he came up to Milwaukee. Yep. He produced a movie called The Undefeated. It's a documentary about Sarah Palin. If you haven't seen it, you've got to see it. It's a blockbuster. When he made that movie, I was and still am on the Organize for Palin team. So I was the Wisconsin Organize for Palin coordinator. And when they rolled out the movie, The Undefeated, you know, when they do these, they roll them out to certain theaters. And then depending on how good it does, it goes more, you know. Anyway, it took off and it was a hit, and they let some cities vote online to see who would had more interest in getting the movie to the next locations. And Milwaukee actually won, and the movie came to Milwaukee for a week. So I was the host for that movie. All the time
wow.
that it ran, I would be up there at the movie theater, go in the theater. People knew me. I had literature. And my first iPhone, I was taking exit interviews. So I would greet the people going in, give them some literature. They would go to the movie. And then on their way out, I would take videos of exit interviews to see how they liked it. It was freaking awesome. Anyway, Bannon came up to Milwaukee to be there to meet people. It was pretty freaking awesome.
That's really cool.
He's a normal guy, super smart, but I mean, normal down-to-earth guy. He shows up in Milwaukee with normal shorts and sandals, and, you know, he's looking basic.
And he wasn't wearing like a white hood or anything like that?
No.
He wasn't part of the KKK like everyone says?
No, No. And at the time, I knew about his movie producer career and stuff like that, but I didn't really, to be honest, I didn't know about his naval history, being a naval officer. Harvard, I think he's a Harvard grad. I didn't know that. So he's a very smart guy. Great patriot, super patriot, friend of Sarah Palin. Any friend of Sarah Palin is a friend of mine.
Yeah, and he was one of Trump's first picks. So, I mean, that's got to say.
And top dog, he's the top dog, basically. Reince is basically taking marching orders from Bannon.
Oh.
So, that's pretty sweet.
Well, I'm pretty excited about Trump's pick.
Little old me, I've met both these guys at different levels, but it's pretty awesome. Okay, so that was called the dramatic pause. where are we? So back to first district politics, the after Trump's win. So what about your family, Dana? How did they vote? Any feedback on that, or how anyone else's reaction?
Well, you know, I haven't asked them directly how they voted, but I'm pretty sure my entire family voted Trump. But again, I haven't asked them, so. But I know that my parents were pro-Trump during the general, before Trump even became the nominee. So I'm pretty confident they voted. I'm pretty sure my husband voted Trump. I asked him for advice, who should I vote for? I was still lingering. I'm like, should I vote for a presidential? Well, again, I just want to reiterate, I was never voting Hillary, but I asked him, should I vote for Trump or should I just vote down ballot? He said, I'm not telling you what to do. You do what you need to do, but you have to vote. Like that's, you know, he literally drove me to the voting booth because I wasn't even sure if I was going to go. He said, no, you're voting, you know, so that was really cool that he drove. Yeah,
well, you know,
so that was
Kenosha.
That was cool.
Trump only won Kenosha by 255 votes. So, yeah,
well,
you needed to vote.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Did
you know it was that close?
No, I did not know it was that close. So I'm grateful that my husband dragged me to the voting polls to do it.
People
yeah,
don't realize.
So that was a good thing.
There was a district up here in Racine that Obama won both times. One of them Trump won, I think, by like 300, and the other one he lost by like 197 or something, 170. So, yeah, this was a big vote. There were a lot of Democrats that came out to vote, so don't let people tell you either that they, you know, didn't, because if you even look at the popular vote numbers, right, they came out
right.
to vote. I saw them. I did exit polls. There was freaking Democrats. You know, did you hear about, this is funny, did you hear about the Pussy Bowl controversy?
Hmm.
No?
No. What is that? Did you say,
remember,
wait, can you say that again?
Pussy Bowl. B-O-W. Pussy Bowl controversy.
Are you saying
well,
pussy?
You remember the Trump, yeah, you remember the Trump pussy tape, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And then on that weekend, that Friday, what was it, like the next midweek was the next debate, right? Like
mm-hmm.
on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or something, right? So at that debate,
yeah.
Melania wore that like pink
oh.
blouse.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
The bow, that particular blouse was made by Gucci. It's like an $1,100 blouse. Blouse, and it's called the Pussy Bow Blouse or something like
yeah.
that by Gucci. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that a pussy bowl is like a woman's neck attire. But pussy bowl comes in different, you know, sizes, shapes, colors, and whatever. I'm only learning about this because of this great story that I'm going to tell you. Anyway, this is getting back to the election. So it was pretty hilarious that the pussy tape comes out and she comes and stands by her man and wears a pussy bowl blouse, I can't even say it, to, you know, basically tell the left, F you, right? That was a pretty great troll. That was great Alinsky right there. Well, I found this out after the election. I put that picture of Melania with that blouse. That's my Avi on Twitter now. So after the election, there was some tweet that had pussy bowl in it, hashtag pussy bowl. So you push on that hashtag and it searches all through Twitter and brings all those tweets with pussy bowl into one column that you can read. And what I uncovered is on election day, the Democrat women were wearing pussy bowl blouses and pussy bowls with their pant suits with the hashtag pantsuit nation. And they were going out and voting with her, right? I'm with her. And we're going to wear, and we're going to show Melania, we're going to wear the pussy bowl, and we're going to wear pantsuits. Well, look how well that did for them. That was freaking hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. Yeah, I remember
there's a whole
that
concerted
and,
effort
know,
on Twitter for these Democrat women.
Well, and as a woman myself, I would just like to comment on the whole pussy grab thing. Can we say that? I mean, are we allowed to say that? I don't.
Oh, yeah.
I don't, but anyway.
This is blog talk, so we don't have to go by normal FCC rules.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, I after that video was released, and there are so many comments about Trump being, you know, sexually harassing women. And my only comment is words are not sexual harassment. Words are not sexual assault. Like,
well, yeah, to another guy in the locker room, right? It was to another guy. It's not like he was saying it to a woman. Saying it to a little traitor,
Billy
Bush.
I'm not defending Trump for saying it.
The guy he said it to, his name is Bush. Do you find that ironic?
He's related to the Bushes. He's related to the Bushes.
Never mind.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I don't like where you're going. So I'm going to ignore it and just say he's related to like the actual George W. Bushes.
Right.
But
okay,
I'm
sorry to cut you
off. What I'm saying as a woman is that words do not equate to assault. You cannot say somebody said something. Maybe it's offensive. I don't disagree with that. But it doesn't equate to assault. It just doesn't. It's not the same. So I find it offensive that somebody says his words are so offensive. I think he's, you know, and they tag him with all of these variations of predator terms. He's not a
You want to know what's offensive? Did you see the tape of John McCain on an airplane bitching out these women reporters that were asking him questions, saying F this, F that, F you, F this, F that, blah, blah, blah. That's assault. Trump talking to another man. You know, no. If a guy or a woman was face-to-face with somebody using some very bad verbal language, that could be assault. I've seen some pretty mean guys say some shit to women that I personally am sickened by. That is not what Trump was doing. You're absolutely right. So they have a locker room talk with some dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my bottom line is
you know what else?
Words don't equal assault to me. So
that's
opinion.
Awesome. That's awesome. And that went really, when they thought that was going to be the October surprise, that lasted for about 5 days.
Yeah.
Trump just moved right through that. Yeah, there's a lot to learn in campaigning by what happened in the last, call it, say, 6 weeks. What they threw at Trump and how he dealt with that, masterful.
Yeah,
just powered through everything. Didn't look back.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing how he handled his campaign. You want to talk about like breaking walls, like, ironically. His whole campaign from beginning, and what I always said from the beginning is, when he started winning and beating people, and I didn't predict that, and I kept, you know, everything I know with politics, Trump's not going to win. He's gonna flail out. He's gonna die. This is not good politics. This is not how it works. And I was wrong. And I was wrong. And I was wrong. And he kept winning and winning and winning. And when it got to the point where he was finally, you know, it was him and Hillary, and everyone saying Hillary's going to win. And I said, I think she will too, which means I've been wrong the entire time, which means I'm probably wrong.
Because
I thought she would win. I thought she would win. And I said, I've been wrong the whole time, which means she's not going to win. He's going to win because there's no way he can win. And I've been wrong the entire time. So the whole thing has just been, it has changed political history as far as I'm concerned. And 2020 is going to be like a whole new world, I think. And you're going to have, but honestly, you're going to have a lot of morons running, like Kanye West. You're going to have people like this that are running who say, you know, Donald Trump opened the door for all of us morons to run. Whereas Trump's not a moron, okay? You know, he played the game. He knew how to work the system. He knew what to do, and he did it brilliantly. And these other people think, oh, I'm a celeb. I can, you know, I have a reality show. I can, no, I'm, they're going to, it's going to be a complete spectacle. 2020 is what I think. It's going to be reality TV stars, celebrities running, thinking they can do what Trump did. But you can't replicate that. He was genius in this whole process, honestly.
Well, I'll help you through that a little bit. Trump will run again. He'll win easily. There will be no competition. And so he'll go 2 terms. And I think after he's done, then we're going to see our first woman president.
Well, do you think when he's running in 2020, he's going to be confronted with a slew of idiotic liberal celebrities?
No, they're the same ones who said they're going to move to freaking Canada, and none of them are doing it. They're all talk, no action. All talk,
please,
no
move.
Action.
Canada, yeah,
no,
Canada.
They're not going to run. He's not going to run. And he, you know, even if somebody like Kanye would, it's a joke. It's not a real deal, you know.
It's a total joke. But those are the people that are going to run.
90 seconds? What? 90 seconds? Crazy. No, they're not going to.
Do we have a half?
We have to do this again
soon.
No, but you know what? I think we're going to get, we get 5 extra minutes. So let's just go over the limit and see. Yeah, we already did a half an hour. It's over.
Oh my gosh.
We've got 1 minute to go. They give us a couple extra minutes. No, we'll do this again. It was great. That's the thing. There's so much to talk about, isn't there, Dana, with this new Trump phenomena? 60 seconds. Yeah. No, there's so much to talk about. There really is. Well, it's been great. I guess we have to admit the fact that we're going to get cut off, so we may as well act like we're. That was too quick. Oh, man. It's great to talk to you again.
You too, yeah.
We can do it. Yeah, we can do it as soon as we have time, another show. And there's so much to talk about. And we'll see if we can get that other guest that we're talking about to come on, too. Try to expand the show a little bit. Yeah, it would be more fun to get a couple people, a couple hot chicks.
Yeah.
It'd be like a threesome.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So, thank you for voting for Trump. We got 10 seconds.
You're welcome.
We'll sign off, and I'll call you on the back end. Have a great night, everybody. Good night.